Welcome into 96.5 The Fan. No trades yet. No trades.
Not yet, baby. Not yet. But I'll tell you what, they're still talking about the Andre Hopkins, aren't they?
You think Max checked his phone yet?
Mac, wait till you see this morning's trade who the Chiefs got.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we can rest easy today. Nothing that we know of yet.
Checked my phone this morning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We blocked all the Chiefs news from your phone so we can catch it live. And if you missed it yesterday, Mac reacting live on the air was just as priceless as it could get. I'm not going to lie. I felt like a proud father. I was like, you could be my son. You know, if I had you when I was 21, you'd be my child right about now. Dusty, not quite. If I was 10.
Yeah, it'd be a little weird.
You never know.
You never know.
But never know
when they start swimming.
That's exactly right. But so Mac yesterday with that priceless reaction, I was getting people that you would never expect to text me Max facial reaction, thinking it was the greatest thing that they've ever seen. I mean, it was really funny yesterday. Not funny, fun yesterday. Fun day yesterday. Good job by you guys. That was our first big moment, I think, as a show yesterday. And I thought everybody really stepped it up, man. We had that story covered better than anybody. We weren't talking college football or college basketball or anything like that. We had you covered here. And I think Max did a really nice job yesterday producing. You did a really good job yesterday as well, Dusty. I thought we handled that thing well yesterday. And we got a tweet from one of our longtime listeners that I thought really kind of summed up everything and said, if this reaction that you guys had on the air isn't a commercial for 96.5 The Fan.
Promo
or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what is. He goes, it's really cool to see the hosts have a true general reaction like the fans were having yesterday with the DeAndre Hopkins news, because it was big news. Now, you have a couple stragglers out there still and whatnot, and there are some people who, for whatever reason, do not like the move. But overall, I think everybody is very, very, very excited about what's going on with the Chiefs in that move. And here's the tweet from @OldManNan on Twitter. If this isn't a promo for 96.5 The Fan, then I don't know what else could be. It's great to see just how big of fans the hosts are. Glad y'all captured this. And the video That's is awesome. Up on our X page, and you can go see Mac's reaction finding out live. Thank goodness the cameras worked yesterday to set all that up. But I just wanted to say to you guys, great job yesterday. You both did an unbelievable job yesterday.
Yeah, I'm glad that you held it in. Because judging by the video, you were about to spill the beans.
You guys both on the tip of your tongue. It's so fun watching your guys' faces before I freak out. It's awesome.
You're just like, what? Who? Huh? Where? When? Why? How? We got DeAndre Hopkins. Great. And that's all anybody was talking about yesterday, right? Like, everybody was loving the DeAndre Hopkins move yesterday and having conversations about it until they went outside and smelled the dumpster or whatever the hell that was yesterday.
Nah, it was cow pies from Iowa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's definitely stank.
Oh, I walked out of the building and I looked at Dusty and I go, God, it smells like a dumpster. I thought exactly it was the Deffenbaugh dump, you know?
No, man, it was mad cow disease or something from Iowa. Just
straight poo.
And then my daughter last night goes, was that our garbage that smelled yesterday? Or like there a weird smell in the air? Because I thought it trailed me to school. Like I opened the trash can, you know, because we got some funk in there right now. And she goes, I thought this thing trailed me to school and I was smelling. I go, no, the whole city smelled yesterday like a dumpster.
Yeah, dude, it was not good. It was from what I read, it was from the state of Iowa. It was a waft of wind that was coming south, which was why it was a little bit warmer yesterday and today, I guess, as well. There's that northern, I guess it should be cooler if it's coming from the north.
Yeah, right.
But it was
methane.
Yeah,
it warming was, it up.
I think they had a couple of quarter pounders from I think I know where the E. coli came from.
Iowa.
Yeah.
That's exactly where it came. But this happened a few years ago. Like a cow farted and the whole city smelled.
You gotta watch out, man.
It was like, what the hell happened? They go, cow farted up in Iowa. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, if a cow farts in Iowa, I guess you smell it in Kansas City, huh?
Yeah. No, the DeAndre Hopkins thing, I know obviously if you guys saw the clip from, Pat McAfee show yesterday, is like, per sources, the Chiefs are not done yet. Whatever that means. I think that's really vague. I don't think anybody's done. I think everybody's probably still active. They've got less than about a week and a half, about a week and a day, actually.
9 days, Dusty. Yeah. 9 days to the trade deadline. We're getting there.
And so I think everybody's going to keep calling around, see what they can fix, see what they can add. We've seen the reports of Hollywood Brown could be ready by the playoffs. Andy Reid with the hilarious audio bite yesterday. I know nothing. He knows how to speak to law enforcement, knows how to speak to media people. That's how you respond to somebody that, if you get pulled over. So, you know how fast you're going? I know nothing.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, genius. That, just take that and run with it. There's a stain on the floor of the house when no one was home except you. And it looks like you were drinking the same liquid that was on the floor. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
But, you know, could there be another move? I don't know. But either way, there's a pretty good game coming up on Sunday at 3:25 in Las Vegas. Cody and Gold will be there, by the way. They're going to have their show live today there and tomorrow. Alex Gold, Goldilocks, live from Vegas. So you want to tune in and get those fresh off the press Vegas odds.
Mm-hmm.
But does it sound like Desmond Ridder is going to be the starter?
I don't know. Does it matter who the starter is right now for the Raiders, right?
To me, it does, because Desmond Ridder has yet to play a snap in the NFL this year. And what I saw the Chiefs defensive line do to Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew is kind of like, to me, a poor man's Fitzpatrick, where like, I think he's going to hold the firework until the very end of the fuse, then throw it, not be afraid if it blows up in his hand or not.
Sure.
But he's going to leave you on the edge of your seat.
And he's going to play for a bleep load of time and make a nice living in the NFL.
Which is terrible for Vegas fans, because they probably want a good draft pick, and Gardner Minshew's going to go out there and try to win a game. Like, right. Hey, pump it down a little bit.
Well, maybe that's why you start Desmond Ridder then, right, if you're the Vegas Raiders.
And so Desmond Ridder plays, Ridder versus Spags is one of the biggest unfair matchups there is this weekend, because what they did to Brock Purdy, what they've done to every team so far this year, mm-hmm. other than maybe you can give Cincinnati and Baltimore a pass because they're the only teams that have scored 20 or more points. I won't feel bad, but I also like think about this game. Like, if Desmond Ridder turns the ball over twice and the Chiefs score on both those, and the Chiefs also score in their offensive possession, you might be right that this game could be like a 41-3 type game, like that Bears game was last year.
Sure, I remember that Bears game very vividly. That was Matt Nagy revenge game, you know. Against,
and what is this?
This is a Patrick Mahomes revenge game, right?
Thank you.
No, these revenge games. I was on with a station in Las Vegas yesterday talking a lot about this kind of stuff. Right? They said about 3 years ago, you said the Raiders were like a booger on the end of the finger of the Chiefs that they were trying to flick off. I go, yeah, and the host goes, you were right. I go, yeah, of course I was. I mean, the Raiders have been irrelevant for a very long time, but when there's revenge on the minds of the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm. they go out there and they exact that revenge, very much like Tom Brady used to do, very much like the Kansas Jayhawks used to do. They would create, you know, reasons to get fired up for a game that on paper doesn't seem like it's a real big matchup, right? It's a big mismatch on paper. It really is. Like, you've got Desmond Ridder. I'd rather see John Ridder playing quarterback, quite frankly.
R.I.P.
Yeah, one of the great character actors of all time.
My
John
wife and
Ridder.
Kid, dating my teenage daughter.
Three's Company was the, you know, John Ridder was fantastic actor, fantastic comedic actor. So he's no longer with us. A Problem Child, which, you know, could have been based on you.
Very much so. Clowns. I hate clowns.
Yeah. What a great movie, though. Really? I mean, like, an old-timer.
One and two.
So much fun. But anyway, so we were kind of having these conversations about, you know, the revenge game and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, I think when the Chiefs have in their mind they want to get revenge, they're going to go out there and get revenge. I said, the only difference is this time is we got a slew of injuries, right? You got Hollywood Brown. We know the injuries, right? So it may be hard to put up those 41 points mm-hmm. because you don't have the personnel to do it. I still think it's going to be kind of game on, because you're seeing people talk about Patrick Mahomes not playing well this year and all this kind of stuff. But they just find ways to win. And if they don't go out there and blow out the Raiders, that's fine. You come away with a win and you're sitting at 7-0 after the first 8 weeks of the season heading into November, and you still haven't lost a football game. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. So I think this team's going to be ready, and whether it's Desmond Ridder, whether it's Carson Wentz, whether it's whoever playing quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, they're going to go out there and they're going to punish that son of a gun. And I don't want to be behind center for Oakland, because I do think Chris Jones is going to get after it this weekend. This could be another big day for the defense.
Couple of quick notes. The last time the Chiefs played in Vegas, they won a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Max Crosby said, of course, this is via NFL.com, it's a year ago's article from February 23rd. You know what? It's motivation, he said on his podcast. Guess who's the last team to beat them, though? Who's the last team to beat the Chiefs? These dudes. They did it. So it's okay. It's cool. Like I told them, we'll run it back. We'll see them again. They got to see us. We got to see them. And we've already given them the recipe of how to do it. You fast forward down to what Antonio Pierce said last year. We've got the Jordan rules. Mm-hmm. And what I'm calling from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules. So you remember when Jordan was going through it with the Pistons, all those guys in the 80s, before he became Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, the Pistons used to whoop his ass anytime he came to the hole, elbows, feeling him up, love taps. We touched him when we're in the head, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I'm touching you. So I showed those guys Jordan getting his ass whooped. And that's what he wants them to do to Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck with that.
So not only that, that's on record. Kermit the Frog's on record. And Max Crosby, Christmas Day recipe, smoking stogies in the Chiefs locker room on record. And the only thing the Chiefs have done is sprayed champagne and put red and yellow over their locker room after winning the Super Bowl.
And that's exactly where it's going to continue this weekend, because those are the things that motivate. Those are the things that get people fired up. And these folks in Vegas yesterday are like, you do know like what happened with that puppet. I'm like, yeah, some fan gave it to the player, but that doesn't matter. They're still going to use that as the motivation to go out there and whoop their ass. They've been circling this game for a very long time, since the day the schedule came out. I got emojis texted from people inside the organization, 1027 and the popcorn emoji. Like, they're ready for this game. They're ready to go. They're ready to kick the Raiders' ass. And you know what? If it does get the 41-3, people are like, why doesn't Andy Reid finish people off? I think this may be the weekend you see Andy Reid say, you know what? F it. Let's go finish these guys.
This is the most excited I've been about a bad matchup in a long time.
In a long time, right?
Like, on paper, which I know that, you know, Tim Kirkchin and guys like that will tell you, like, on paper is not how they play it.
Correct.
But, like, we can do this tomorrow. I mean, this is not going to be a fun game for Vegas.
And I don't think it is either.
Calm down, Dusty. But look, Chiefs never lost in Vegas, and the Chiefs have so much motivation. Oh, and by the way, Patrick Mahomes has a new toy.
Yeah.
We'll dive into that on the other side. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan here in Kansas City, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Hey, it's Dusty Likens once again to remind you. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on a Thursday morning. This week flying by, Chiefs Raiders 325. You can hear all of that here on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City football.
Yeah.
Chiefs football.
There you go, baby. Come out and see me today from 11 to 1. I'll be at the Hy-Vee at 119th Street in Olathe. We got steak dinner day, Dusty. $10 steak. Get your $10 steak dinner. You get an 8-ounce filet or a strip. You get the potatoes. You get the vegetable as well. So we'll be out there from 11 to 1. So come out and say hi. We'll have some 96.5 The Fan swag to give away today as well. So you come out, you get some free stuff, and you can load up on that steak day at Hy-Vee.
The little footballs?
Yeah.
Those are fun to throw in your house.
They're also fun to throw at people as they're walking by. And they say, hit me! And you throw it to them, and then they drop it. And you're like, oh, man.
Thanks. Ah, Kadarius Tony.
DeAndre Hopkins ain't dropping that little football when I throw it to him.
No way.
Nice catch, Sky. DeAndre Hopkins' family in their car, I swear to God.
How cool was that video that surfaced yesterday,
right? I swear to God, that's a video and audio of DeAndre Hopkins, his wife, daughter, and him in the car, and they're all dancing how I was just dancing on the camera.
The thing about that was Sunday. That was Sunday after the game, right?
Come on, he knew.
Of course he knew.
He caught one pass for negative 2 yards and then
out of the game.
Yeah.
Out of the game.
He's done.
On Sunday, yes.
Because I was listening to Cody and Gold on the way home, and they had one of Mac's buddies from Tennessee. I forget who it was.
Tennessee
Will,
Tom.
Will Bowling on.
Oh, yeah. They had Will.
And he made up a really good point about DeAndre Hopkins in that game against Buffalo, right? Yeah, Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
And he was like, and I thought he made a good point, because DeAndre Hopkins suffered the knee injury in training camp, missed like an entire month. And then it was clear and evident that they were moving on from him. They went out and got Calvin Ridley, and they incorporated Calvin Ridley as the number one. And DeAndre Hopkins was kind of like left to the side. Like, imagine if you missed a month of radio. I'm just giving you an analogy. We would never do this because we're not a-holes. But you missed a month of radio, and Mac and I just completely took all the benchmarks that we already do and just got rid of them and created our new ones. And then you came back a month later, you're like, all right, we're doing Smash or Pass? Like, actually, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, and you sit over there now.
And then Friday, like, you'd be like, yeah. And then Friday, you'd be like, all right, Richard of the Week. Actually, we don't do that anymore either. You'd be like, well, I guess you don't need me.
Right.
And that's kind of what happened with DeAndre Hopkins. And they were reassuring me and everyone listening, I think, that it's not a knee issue. DeAndre Hopkins was just like, bruh, like, I don't want to be here no more.
No, it's a Devontae Adams issue.
And I'm not going to get my knee injured or wrist right. injury. And he had one catch and 2 yards, was not on the same page as Will Levis.
Who is?
And if he was smart, like Will Levis, first game last year was against Atlanta, and DeAndre Hopkins is 138 yards and 3 touchdowns on like 5 catches.
Yeah, Will Levis was great that day.
Because he was throwing to DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, you got to throw to your stars, right?
They, for some reason, decided to completely revamp it. Oh, he's hurt. He's going to miss some time. All right, let's move. Let's go on to Calvin Ridley, which is fine. You paid him a lot of money, but maybe like keep the vet, future Hall of Famer, maybe, on the same page as everybody else so when he comes back. So to me, this was I'm just going to wait it out and see until I can get moved. I don't think the knee injury was ever anything else. And then Sunday when you hear this, you see this video surface of him and his wife and his daughter in the car singing to Taylor Swift. Like, the reason why they're doing that is because he told his family, I'm going to Kansas City. And we know that Kansas City is known for Mahomes, Andy Reid, winning, Kelsey, Swift.
You didn't even name barbecue yet. Wow, how about that? We're through five Dang. Items that Kansas City's known for. You well, didn't even name the barbecue.
Referencing the team.
Yeah. Oh,
and
oh.
So when he says that, I guarantee you his daughter goes, so that's where Taylor Swift's at. And then he's jamming 22.
The music. Yeah.
And then everybody's happy.
Right.
And now he comes to Kansas City. So, like, I don't think what he did in Tennessee will reflect of what he's going to do here.
Oh, God, no.
Now, I'm not here to flip my opinion on what he's going to do. I still think he's a guy that's 5 to 6 catches a game for 60 to 70 yards and a touchdown threat. But look, I don't think the knee's an issue.
No, the knee I don't think is an issue either. Otherwise, the trade would not have happened. And I've been reassured by enough people over the last 24 hours that the knee isn't an issue. It really is a Devontae Adams type of situation where you reach a certain point with your team or with your organization, or maybe you're doing, like the mm-hmm. new thing these days in sport, not sports, but the world in general, is called like silent quitting, I think is what they call it, where people
quiet
just
quitting.
Quiet quitting, right? Where mm-hmm. they just stop showing up or doing the job or the bare minimum and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of what we're seeing right now around the NFL. And I don't blame guys like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Devontae Adams or somebody like that who is a really good player on a really bad team. They don't see this thing going anywhere. They now have to think about themselves and their career, because at 32 years old, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have many days left in the NFL. Neither does Devontae Adams at 31 or whatever he is. You don't have many days left in this league when you get to that age. And so you want to go and have an opportunity to have some success towards the end of your career. And look, that's where Devontae Adams is. That's mm-hmm. where DeAndre Hopkins is at this point in time. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have a contract at the end of this season, so he's playing for his future, but also he could say, you know what, if I win a Super Bowl in Kansas City, maybe I'm done. I played, 11, 12 years now in this league, and so he gets an opportunity to do the ring chase with a team that's going for a three-peat, gets put into a really good situation, and again, like if you work for a company and they're telling you to do job A, but they're not giving you any resources to do that job, it makes your job that much harder. DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams, for that matter, both weren't having resources given to them at the quarterback position. Mm. And when you're a wide receiver, you can only do so much when you don't have a good quarterback. And they're both looking around going, my career is being, snuffed out right now because I got Will Levis or I got Desmond Ridder or I've got Gardner Cashew or whoever the case may be at the quarterback position. I'm not getting a fair opportunity to be the player that I am because I'm so reliant on that dip poop behind center that can't throw a football. And so I don't blame these guys for doing that. They're taking control of their own careers, and we just don't see that enough in sports. You don't have that opportunity. So when you do have that opportunity, you take advantage of it. And the best part of that whole video, there's two really good parts of that whole video with the family dancing, Hopkins family. Number one is they all had the retro jersey on, that the Houston Oilers jerseys that looked just absolutely spectacular. And number two, underneath the video, the caption that he put was, "Rumor has it."
The Adele song?
Yes, exactly. Rumor has it. And so right then and there, you knew that DeAndre Hopkins was becoming a Kansas City Chief and he was ready to go. It was all about just kind of working out the finality of that deal. And everybody's in a good mood now because he's here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, listening to those guys from Nashville and kind of piecing everything together and what is the, you know, the situation in the NFL, I think it's just one of those things of like, you know, you move on and new face, new place can always have an uptick in production.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at this from a standpoint of Patrick Mahomes and DeAndre Hopkins, will it take a few weeks? Probably. Like, I think he's going to practice today.
There's going to be a lot of meetings that are taking place with DeAndre Hopkins and Matt Nagy and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes over these next 3 days to get him as up to speed as you possibly can. But sometimes I think we make a bigger deal than it is. Here's 10 plays. Go run these plays. We'll figure it out.
And I think that's like the part that I was talking to some buddies about last night, because they were like, well, how long is it going to take to learn that playbook? I'm like, here's the thing.
Alex Smith didn't know it in year three.
Right. Well, here's the thing about it as well. When you're a veteran guy, like Andy Reid's plays can be intense, but they all start from the same concept. And if DeAndre Hopkins is what, like the Y, or I guess he might be like,
He'd be like an X.
Yeah, like the X. So it'll just be like, hey, you're running this play. It's essentially this route, but it's in a zone coverage. And you got the toughest part, I think, for someone like DeAndre Hopkins to learn is just the Mahomes like mechanics. Like, hey, that's where you get in Travis Kelce's brain. You're like, hey, so how do you know when he's going to start? It's like, you'll know it. It's like,
but it's one of those things that you can't explain. Like, if you went to Travis Kelce and said, explain this to me, because Travis has said it. He goes, Mahomes knows where I'm going to be before I know where I'm going to be. You know, it's really weird that they have that synergy. And so you just have to go out there and play and see what happens. I think the number one thing for DeAndre Hopkins, as we, you know, start to progress towards what we think he can do, never quit on a play. Like that's the number one thing that you need to know when you're on this team and you're a wide receiver, you're a playmaker, never quit on the play. The play is never over until the whistle blows and the referee puts the ball down and gets it ready for the next play, because that's the way Patrick Mahomes operates. So you have to constantly be working on every single play. If he does that, he'll be fine here in Kansas City. It's the guys who stop their routes and whatnot because they think the play is over that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the time of day for.
And I think that's the toughest thing to learn is just the chemistry. Once you learn your chemistry with your quarterback, it's not necessarily, hey, can you run a flat stick 47 J route, whatever. It's not that you need to learn that. You need to learn cadence, and you need to learn where your quarterback's going to be at certain situations. And once you do that, like, that's why I think Kelce looks so much better than a lot of people give him credit for, because he knows the rhythmic motions of Patrick Mahomes. He knows when a play is busted right away. He knows like we heard last year that he was talking about the touchdown in the end zone. He's supposed to stop and he kept going, or he's supposed to keep going and he stopped.
Yes.
And he's like, Mahomes like, Travis ran the wrong play, but I scored a touchdown.
Right.
And you're like, okay, so like they get each other. Now that's something you can't teach. That's something they've developed.
That's husband and wife type stuff, man. Like,
and that's just what that is. But as soon as DeAndre can kind of figure out those things, DeAndre Hopkins, that is, I'm not a first name guy. I don't know why I just did it. I apologize. But like, as soon as Hopkins understands like where he needs to be in certain situations that do cause that, which won't take long because he's a veteran. He's probably watched Mahomes play since he hasn't played playoff football in a really long time.
Right. Since 2019.
Right. God. So,
well, and this is also a guy who got 700 yards in 9 games with Colt McCoy. He got 1,000 yards with Malik Willis that hurt Ryan Tannehill and, Will Levis. This is a guy who can do it with anything. He's been in 6 different offenses.
But again, Matt, that's great information. But as we know from Mike Greenberg, we live in the moment of the NFL, and he had -2 yards receiving on Sunday. So that's who he
is. My bad.
As a player. But no, those are the right points, because somebody said to me yesterday, goes, well, his numbers, I go, Will Levis is playing quarterback. Stop.
No.
Just stop living in the moment. But that's the NFL in a nutshell, where people become these prisoners of the moment. And like tonight, there's a Thursday night game, the Rams and Minnesota. There are going to be wild ass takes about Minnesota and the Rams tomorrow morning. If the Rams win this game, Minnesota's no good. They've been a fraud for the first 5
100%.
Weeks, right? Okay. The Rams are back. They've got a shot to win the division. Because everybody on TV at ESPN becomes a prisoner of the moment for whatever reason, and they forget about the reality that's going on. Now, does a loss tonight hurt Minnesota? You bet. You bet a loss hurts Minnesota tonight, because Detroit is playing so well right now. But people will have these prisoner of the moment takes, and I think that's where people were with DeAndre Hopkins. And my daughter, who's the fantasy football queen of her school at California Trail right now, leading that thing, she said to me, she goes, those numbers aren't real good. She's a 13-year-old girl who probably never knew who DeAndre Hopkins was until yesterday, right? And she's looking at, she doesn't know who Will Levis is or any of these folks,
she's,
you know,
telling you that.
Yeah. Right. But she's committed to winning, you know? And she's like, ah, his numbers weren't really, haven't been really good. I go, yeah, he's got a bad quarterback. He's playing with Patrick Mahomes now. Go grab him on your roster and whatnot. But again, she's 13. I would expect adults that are on television that are talking about the NFL to have an understanding of the league. And the more that I watch, I realize how dumb these people are on national television. They're all idiots.
I mean, the Jets play the Patriots this week. If they score 40, get ready.
Oh, get ready. Aaron Rodgers is back. Aaron Rodgers dominates. Aaron Rodgers is great. Oh, look at this. It's fantastic. They're 3-5.
But his hamstring hurts.
You beat the Patriots, man. Like, you're 3-5. Yay. Let's have a parade. Excuse me.
It's okay. It is kind of crazy. The World Series will finally start on Friday. Do people still know we're playing baseball?
I know, right? Like, I was thinking about this yesterday, too. I'm like, why don't we start this? But again, if the NLCS and ALCS went game seven.
If it did not.
But the networks dictate everything, dude.
They got to fix that. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Baseball's lost all juice. I mean, you've seen three trades. I mean, there's been more. Amari Cooper goes to Buffalo. Devontae Adams goes to the Jets. DeAndre Hopkins goes to Kansas City. And not one person. I watched Colin Cowherd's show yesterday. Like I do every day when I get home at 11. He literally did a 3-minute topic in LA is where his show is. And they're playing in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he talked about was the Shohei Ohtani baseball going for $4.3 million. Where I bring this up is, are people not caring as much in the Midwest? And I'm just, you know, fear of missing out or FOMO of the World Series, or is it because it's two of the most hated teams in baseball? Because the most hated team in football is the Kansas City Chiefs.
No doubt. We are the New York Yankees of football.
Right. And every fan base, like we've seen in this, that doesn't want to watch the World Series is because they don't like the Yankees or your team's in the National League and you don't like the Dodgers.
Right.
They are the mirror image of each other of the two leagues.
Which just means it's going to be a pretty good World Series, I think.
I don't care. Like, I literally will not make a bet on the World Series. I will not watch the World Series, like, to a T. Like, Friday night.
You aren't making a wager.
Not on the World Series.
Wow.
Are you?
No, probably not. I'm just surprised from Dusty. Right.
No.
He lives in Missouri. They're not allowed to do that stuff over there, okay?
I will, NBA will have more attention for me.
That's fair.
High school football will have more attention for me. Saturday college football will have more attention for me. Literally, I won't watch the game Saturday because I'll be seeing Alan Jackson at the T-Mobile Center. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Chasing that neon rainbow on Saturday night.
Hockey Tonk Blues, right?
That's right. Nice. Can't wait. Midnight in Montgomery. Greatest country song of his of all time. Or Drive for Daddy Gene. Either way, the Chiefs are the Yankees. But the thing that's interesting is that the NFL is interesting because every year you tell yourself, somebody might have a chance. They don't.
They don't.
But somebody might have a chance. Is it Baltimore? Is it Houston? Can Buffalo do it? Is Cincinnati going to make it? In baseball, with the Yankees and the Dodgers, you're like, yeah, the Dodgers seem to be in the World Series every year. And then last year, you're like, oh, it's Texas and Arizona.
Yeah, but they're not. You know?
And it's like, cool. It's Texas and Arizona. I don't care. Now it's LA and New York, and you're still like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, because baseball is such a provincial sport, and most sports are provincial sports. I was talking to somebody the other day about this.
When was the last game played?
Sunday night.
NLCS?
Yeah, the NLCS game 6 was Sunday night. So you went a whole week, and baseball kind of died on the vine.
5 days?
Yeah, it's a long time. It really is. Like, and look, I'm a defender of baseball. I love the sport. But, I mean, yeah, I do think they're doing it wrong by having this layoff. But, again, the network's dictate. It's already set in stone. This is what they're going to do. They don't want to compete with the NFL if they don't have to, and they're setting themselves up for not competing with the NFL, which is smart not to compete with the NFL, because also the networks that are televising this, Fox, well, they don't want to give up any NFL inventory for the World Series, and so they, you know, they push it off to Friday and Saturday, and so you had this lull right now, but baseball is actually more winnable for other teams than it is in the NFL. The NFL is dominated by the Chiefs and the 49ers. I mean, look at the last couple of Super Bowls, Chiefs and 49ers. Like, people think that's baseball, but the problem is baseball doesn't know how to sell hope like football does. Football sells hope better than anything else on planet Earth. Mm. And every fan base wakes up on March 17th when the league year starts thinking they have a chance. Free agency is going to be good. We got the draft coming up. Hope, and then opening day happens and you realize you're not a good team. But leading up to that, the NFL sells hope better than anybody else. If baseball knew how to sell hope, I think we'd have a situation where more people were baseball fans, because baseball really is more wide open than the NFL. People complain about the Yankees. They haven't won a world championship in 15 years. They haven't even been to the World Series in 15 years. So they don't dominate like everybody thinks they do. The Dodgers have won world championships since 1988.
In the bubble.
And it's a bubble championship. They don't even have a real championship right now. And you mentioned Texas and Arizona last year in the World Series. Hell, the Royals have been the two world championships in the last 10 years. Baseball is more wide open, but they don't understand how to sell that. The NFL, my God, they make you believe that whether you're the Carolina Panthers or the Kansas City Chiefs, you got a chance this year, baby.
Well,
and baseball doesn't know how to do that.
I guess the thing that I could say is that it's the obvious. Baseball is dominated, and you do not have a chance in the regular season. The problem is wild card teams win because there's a best of series.
Right.
Right. There's a best of three. And to be fair, I know they don't do it every year, but seemingly the Yankees or Boston or LA or San Diego or teams like that, Atlanta, they win the regular season.
Right.
They don't win in the playoffs. Whereas the NFL, it's a one and done, where somebody, and what do we always say? It's a cliche, any given Sunday.
Right.
Somebody can have a day on a random wild card playoff weekend where, oh my gosh, Josh Allen lost to, you know, I don't know, Will Levis in a wild card game because it just so happened that Josh Allen, who doesn't throw a pick all season, by the way, he doesn't have any interceptions this year, which is insane, throws four, and Will Levis throws one touchdown, but they end up winning because of a fluke way. Mm-hmm. Whereas like baseball, it's like, yeah, technically, there's a team that can win two games out of three, and they beat you.
Right.
But it is still dominated by those teams, and I think baseball would be fixed, because the one thing that makes the NFL better and more entertaining and give people more of a chance that you say that doesn't is the fact there's a salary cap.
Well, there
and is, that's why the NFL is so great, because there is that battle. That is why Brett Veach is so valuable to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Pioli couldn't manage a checkbook, which ruined this franchise.
John Dorsey couldn't either.
I'm sorry, it's Dorsey.
Yeah, Dorsey.
Dorsey
yeah.
couldn't do it. And that's why they lost. Like, they just went down the hill because it's like, well, we can't afford this guy, so we got to let him go. Oh, this other team got him. Now they're great. And in baseball, it's like the Yankees roster is $385 million. The Royals is $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's like where I went to middle school at Hall McCarter. You don't know where there is, but we were a small school that didn't have a lot of kids that went there. When we played other schools like Brittany Hill, Delta Woods, Moreland Ridge, they had 65 kids to choose 12 for their basketball team,
sure.
Whereas Hall McCarter had 20, and about seven of them could actually play basketball. The Yankees can just go pay whoever they want, Stanton, Judge, Rizzo, mm-hmm. Jazz Chisholm, who's not great, but they can go get
him.
Whereas the Royals, when they make their moves, they have to pan out.
And like, they do, yes.
Lugo had to be great.
Right.
Reagan's had to stay healthy.
And that's why you're looking forward to next season. You're like, can they get back there?
Whereas
you had a lot of career years for a lot of guys that if you're counting on Lugo and Walken and all these guys to have career years again, you're selling hope. I understand that, but you better have a backup plan.
Whereas like in the NFL, it's like, yeah, you can lose guys like, you know, Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, but you have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and you've built your offensive line
core.
Because you use your money wisely.
Right. You
and
can do that in baseball, though. But in baseball, you just have to be able to look at like Baltimore, I know, hasn't won yet, but they've got that core. They supplement it. That's where the Royals are right now. You've got Salvi, you've got Bobby, you've got Vinny as your core, and you've supplemented that core.
Yeah.
And so you have to continue to supplement that core and change over. And, you know, Lugo and Waka were great last year, but there's no guarantees that those guys are going to be any good next season. So what is your backup plan? I do think the biggest thing, though, with baseball and the NFL is not necessarily, to me, the salary cap. It's the salary floor. You have to force these teams to spend a certain amount of money, because if you don't, then you're going to have teams like the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays or teams of that nature that just never spend enough to put a real major league ball club on the field. And that's, I think, where the NFL wins, because everybody talks about the salary cap, but there's also a salary floor in the NFL. You have to meet that certain level.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't have that salary floor, and it allows for a third of the teams just not to care and to not spend.
Well, why would you?
Right, exactly.
Like, why would you? Because look who's in the World Series, and look who makes the playoffs every year. Yankees, Braves, Dodgers, Padres, Red Sox, they all do every year.
Yeah.
Well, it just sucks.
But
they play 162 games.
I know, but which is too many.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they expanded. The wild card keeps people alive, but baseball really does need to implement a salary floor. I'm not concerned about the salary cap. We need more of these teams spending money at the bottom level to get up to a certain level, and that will help talent dissipate throughout Major League Baseball, because now all of a sudden you wake up and you're Oakland, and you go, we got to spend $90 million this offseason on our roster. We got to go out and sign guys, and guys will make a boatload of cash, and some guys will make money because of the salary floor. And for whatever reason, Major League Baseball will never have a salary cap or a salary floor. And so we can sit here and complain about it all we want. They're never going to do it. They look at their national ratings. They're up 37% in the playoffs. It's a pretty big win for baseball.
Let's see your talent.
If you remember Mac's reaction yesterday, it was priceless on the other side. 913-586-7965. When's the last time you had the same reaction as Mac, which is a holy blank moment in your life? 913-586-7965. Your last holy blank moment. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Moore. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
It is not 1985, Mac. Not that you would ever remember 1985, but it is not 1985. Back in on a beautiful Thursday morning. I'll be at Hy-Vee 11 to 1 today down in Olathe.
Oh, it's steak day.
You better believe it is steak day. We'll be cooking steaks outside on the grill, doing some veggies, mashed taters, that $10 steak day at Hy-Vee, all of the Hy-Vees. But I'll be at the one at 119th Street in Olathe this morning from 11 until 1 this afternoon. So come by, say hi, stop by, get a steak dinner, and hang out with us. We'll be hanging out and doing our thing. Me and Cam will be out there, I believe, today from our promotions department. Great dude. So I'm excited. I want to see you guys. So come on out to Hy-Vee today from 11 to 1 on 119th Street. Get you a steak dinner for $10.
Huh. Sounds like a great deal.
It is a great deal.
That might give you the holy blank moment when you see that and forget about, like, oh, I need to go to the store and get some stuff. Holy smokes, I got to get a steak dinner.
They're moving through steaks, brother. Let me tell you, these places are doing like 400 to 500 of these steaks. They got that big grill fired up, and you can smell the steak cooking. God, is there anything better than like the smell of a steak cooking on a charcoal grill?
It's up there.
Yeah, I mean it.
I mean, cooking like Philly cheesesteaks on the Blackstone and those onions and peppers start to get going.
The onion and peppers and mushrooms.
Tough, dude.
Oh god.
And they start. That's like the toughest thing to do when you leave the T-Mobile Center, because I didn't know that they do this now. But like after going to like Zach Bryan, Bruce Springsteen, I'll be there Saturday for Alan Jackson. Like they have like vendors out there now at like different spots that cook like sausages with peppers and onions.
So there's nothing better.
Right when you hit the exit door, it's just like. Oh, crap. Like, they're so like, hot dog? You're like, nah, man, I should probably get out of here. Yeah. I'll eat three of them.
That's the problem with Kauffman Stadium is they don't have the peppers and onions for your dog.
The Sheboygan?
You got to have the peppers and onions cooking, even if it's just the scent that goes through the stadium. Like, if they made a cologne, Eau de Peppers and Onions, I'd probably wear that. That's how good it is. And every time I cook peppers and onions or just celery and onions or whatever it is, the kids come like, oh, it smells so good. Sometimes you could just cook it for the smell in the house. It is so good.
What do they call that? Miroquois?
Yeah. It's the Miroquois. Carrots and celery and onions. Oh, it's just delicious with some butter and oil, and you get it going. It's just a wonderful scent.
We asked the Miroquois.
Miroquois, I think, is
That's okay. French.
Yeah, French for Miroquois.
For marinade.
It's actually for Miracle Whip is how you say that in French. You'll have the Miroquois.
Or marinade, something. I don't know. The last holy blank moment you had in your life, like Mac had yesterday when he read my tweet, 27 seconds ago. What?
How many times did you watch that video?
Five.
At least for me
I
yesterday.
I watched it a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I had, like I said, I had people sending me that video that I never would have expected to have watched that video. They're like, this is awesome. And then that's like so screenshot fun. Mac's face is just like, we got DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, like when was the last time you had that? I can't think of the last time I had that genuine surprise in a good way type of moment. And Mac had that yesterday. That was
pretty awesome.
I can give mine is when our boss called me and said, do you want to throw out the first pitch to your dad at Royal Stadium?
Okay.
That's
pretty sick.
He's like, you're still there, right? And I was like, I'm here. Let me call my dad real quick and see if he's okay with it.
Yeah.
Which then he had the same moment. honorable mention from the text line, Rovin Odor punching Jose Bautista in the face.
Oh, Rougned Odor.
Yeah, Rougned Odor.
You had that moment then. Okay, that's a long time ago. That was a great baseball fight. I mean, that guy, he clocked him.
I remember when, who was it? Was it Jason Barrett who punched AJ Pierzynski? I think it was Jason Barrett. Michael Barrett? Maybe it was Michael Barrett?
Didn't a lot of people punch AJ Pierzynski?
No, only one.
Oh. A lot of people wanted to punch AJ Pierzynski, right?
Very punchable guy.
Yeah, very punchable face. Because
he went back and like tapped home plate. Again, it was a White Sox-Cubs game, I think.
I would think that Michael Barrett was a
Cub. Was it Michael Barrett?
Yeah,
Michael Barrett was a catcher for the Cubs. Pierzynski, obviously, the catcher for the White Sox.
Yeah.
He came back and tapped the plate, and then Michael Barrett was just like, boom.
Yeah.
Veritek punching A-Rod was awesome.
That was good.
That was a good baseball fight.
That was a good baseball fight. But was that the same fight where you had Pedro throw Don Zimmer to the ground? Like, that was elder abuse.
No, that was like a day game. The A-Rod thing, I believe, was a night game.
Do you remember where you were when you saw Don Zimmer being thrown to the ground?
Yeah, I did not feel bad at all for Don Zimmer.
Oh, you didn't? The guy's old. You don't throw an elderly man.
Why is he charging the mound?
Well,
keep your old ass on the bench, Don. And then he came out and he's like, I'm embarrassed. You should be. You look like the actual live action of Humpty Dumpty.
Actually, I think one of those moments for me was Tom Gamboa getting beat up, you know, by those White Sox fans. Like, we'd never seen anything like that where fans come out of the crowd and beat the snot out of the first base coach.
Somebody says their last blank moment was watching Mario's Miracle with his dad.
That's a good one. Anything Patrick Mahomes related. I mean, we've had so many of those.
13-second game is on the text line.
For sure. I mean, that throw to Conley in the end zone for his first, you know, real touchdown here at Arrowhead Stadium that made everybody go, oh my God. Like, there were so many Patrick Mahomes moments that make you go, oh my God. And there's still more of those moments to come. I bet we get one on Sunday against the Raiders where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he just hit DeAndre Hopkins for 83 yards and a touchdown.
From 816, my holy blank moment last season with the Chiefs. By the touchdown to Mecole Hardman, I just sat there staring at my TV for 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's another good one,
Not realizing we had just won a second Super Bowl in a row. Then I was like, holy blank.
We've had a lot of those moments recently, right? I mean, we've been very lucky to have those type of moments, right?
I mean, down 24-0, and you're leading by halftime.
I'll never forget that game, being out there. And I got up to go to the bathroom when the punt return happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this thing could be potentially over. Even me, I'm like, it's 17-0. I'm like, eh. And then the punt return happened. You're like, oh.
From the 9-1-3 when my girlfriend got naked in front of me for the 517th time.
Sounds like my wife this morning.
Okay. From the 816, she wasn't up. My holy crap moment was when the 69ers wanted a ball in overtime.
Wanted the ball.
Yeah, wanted the ball in overtime.
That was a holy blank moment.
But
for sure.
How many people, though, realize that in the moment? Because we're sitting around drinking, doing anything. Like, all right, yeah, you take the ball.
Oh,
right.
As soon as they said we want the ball, I was like, are they serious?
Yeah, I was freaking
out. Because what I said to everybody when that happened, I was like, win the toss, defer. Win the toss, defer.
Yeah.
Win the toss, defer. San Francisco's won the toss. I'm like, oh my God. It's like, they're choosing to elect to keep the ball. I was like, yes. I was like, hold to a field goal and we're good.
Yeah. That's all you had to do. I mean, it was wild.
Because then
all you need is 5 yards and Butker will kick it through. And then you just go
sudden death.
Continue to play. Yeah. Does it go sudden death or do you play out the entire quarter in the postseason?
You just keep playing.
You just keep playing until it ends. It's like California Trail going four overtimes the other day. Like, this game that won't end. But how cool would that have been in the Super Bowl if it just never ended? We're in Monday morning and the thing's still going back and forth, right?
From the 816, mine was when I found out my ex was pregnant.
Was she your ex at the time?
Bobby's final round in Home Run Derby, I stood up and got closer to the TV and literally dropped to my knees when his last ball hit the wall. So did I, because I had money on that. 2014, wildcard's been 2014 since you had a holy blank moment.
No, come on, man. You didn't have one with the Chiefs? Since 2014, Patrick Mahomes has done some things.
How does it say?
If you haven't had an oh my God moment with the Chiefs in the last 5 years.
Somebody says from the 9-1-3, a holy blank moment for them was when Sweeney went after Jeff Weaver.
That was a fantastic moment. Yeah.
I watched that game. I remember that. I think that was on the old RSN.
it was at RSTN, but we were at a strip club off of Van Brunt, and this woman was lit on fire spinning from the ceiling, and we got word that Mike Sweeney was in a fight, so we went out to the ballpark.
Yeah. I mean, the scoop and score against Miami and Germany was a holy blank moment.
That was
Tyreek Hill, man.
That was wild, that play.
No doubt.
If you haven't had one since the 2014 wild card game, have you been in a coma?
And then someone says when Josh announced his retirement. brutal. It's funny though. Mac Borey, Bob Fesco, and Dusty Likens here. We come back and tell you some of the worst. These are real things, by the way. Worst Chiefs takes of all time. Chiefs takes, not cheese steaks. Mac Borey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.